Hello, Ready Gang. Welcome back to the Act of Self-Protection Podcast. I'm yet again your host, Mike Bulliver, and I remain your favorite former Fed. With us today, a new friend of mine. His name is Ben. He hails from Long Island, New York, or as the locals say, Long Island. He is married with two kids. And I'll leave it to you if you want to tell the folks where you work and what you do there. That's up to you.
Yeah, how's it going? So I'm Ben. Long Island, New York. I work for the Long Island Railroad, and that's about it.
Right on. Cool. So Ben reached out with a video, and we try to time the release of the videos on the main channel if we have a podcast guest in the video to come out the same day. That's getting increasingly more difficult. So at some point, the video is either going to come out after you hear this, or it has come out already, but go look for it over on the main channel. I don't know what the title is going to be yet, but John, you know, John has a lot of work to do. He has a lot of videos to record, so he'll get to that as soon as he can. With that said, sir, your incident involves a successful use of pepper spray, spoiler alert, OC spray. Can I ask, and I haven't asked you this yet, you can call me a liar. Was it Palm pepper spray or some other brand?
It was Palm pepper spray. I actually had another brand previous to that. I got Palm because of how highly you guys speak of it, and I completely agree. It's just the activation alone and the way the trigger mechanism works is superior to the other one that I had. And, you know, when I started carrying it, I thought for sure I would never, ever have an opportunity or have to use it. And, you know, 6 months of carrying it, and I was proven wrong.
But in the best possible way, and here's why, because we talked before we hit the record button, you know, obviously, you know that we always do. But I was saying to Ben before we hit the record button, look, if people would, you know, if police officers would have the same attitude about OC spray that Ben appears to have, we could avoid a lot of bad incidents. What do I mean by that? If they would employ OC sooner than later to control a subject, we had a video will have come out by the time this airs, where a police officer gets shot and killed. They're arguing with a guy trying to get him out of a car. It was a traffic stop. And the guy refuses. Turns out he's a felon in possession. He's got a firearm on him. And they try tasing him like 3 or 4 times. And we made the point in the video, hey, the taser actually prevents someone from doing, while it's activated, prevents someone from doing what you're actively telling them to do. So if I tell you, show me your hands, and then I hit a taser, right? Hit the trigger. You're now frozen for 8 seconds. You couldn't comply with me if you wanted to. I just don't think a taser is a good way to get somebody out of a car. If they'd have sprayed the guy, the whole thing might have gone differently. But with that said, Ben, how long have you sort of been aware of the need for you to prepare for your own self-defense? Is this something you've always kind of thought about? I've never been to Long Island. I've been to New York City proper, but never Long Island. Do you live in a rough area? Is it something you consider or think about a lot, or maybe more than the average person?
Well, the town I'm in is known as a little bit of a rougher area. I love it. It's a, you know, water side community. I spend a lot of time in the water. It's a beautiful area, but you know, the school that my kids go to is a little rougher. The area definitely has a little bit more, you know, smaller crimes and stuff like that. No murders or anything like that, really. Although that occasionally happens. But I've always, you know, been aware of self-defense for a long, long time. Concealed carry permit holder also, but that didn't happen until a few years back. Probably actually only, I've had my sportsman license for years, but my concealed carry for about a year now, since Long Island laxed on their licensing, and finally I think they lost the case in the Supreme Court. But yeah, I'm always you know, checking exits and being prepared, and you know, just being aware of my surroundings, you know, because I've seen some stuff and always watch, you know, videos. I'm into firearms and have been for a long time, avid hunter, stuff like that, you know.
Right on. Yeah, I think the case you're talking about is the Bruin decision at the Supreme Court, which kind of loosened up everyone's CCW requirements around the country to where I think they should be. Although I don't think, as long as you're not insane or have a felony history or under current investigation for something, I don't think you should need any permission from anyone, frankly, but that's just my second absolutist coming out. I meant to mention, Ben, before we spoke, so people get to see a little bit of how the sausage is made. If you freeze up or if I freeze up, just keep going. It'll be recording on both ends.
Just so okay. I wasn't sure. I was kind of stuttering a little there because of that, but that's fine. Okay. We'll keep going. Yeah.
No
problem.
So kind of walk us through that situation. How long have you had your CCW and what was the process like to get it there in Long Island?
So the CCW, I'm bad with a time frame, but right after that case, you know, was won, by, I think it was the New York, Pistol Association. They won that case. They eased up, anybody that currently had a sportsman license just had to go and take, I think it was an 18-hour or so class. And then they would, you know, go down, drop the paperwork off, and it would just go through and get approved. So I took the class pretty shortly after that because I didn't want them to appeal it. I wanted to, you know, I figured if I got it, if they ever did win an appeal, I would probably be grandfathered in. So I saw my opportunity. So it's been about a year, I think, since I've had my CCW. I've had the sportsman license for a long time prior to that, which is for hunting and target shooting with the pit bull.
So I know some places, like I get people on the show from California and people I know from California, people from New York who will tell me that, yeah, sure. Now we can get our CCW quote. We can get it, quote unquote, but there's roadblocks being thrown up. There's sensitive places.
A lot of roadblocks.
Or they're slow walking the application. Did you run into any of that sort of thing when you went to apply?
Well, the application was backed up just because of the sheer volume of applicants, because everybody, I mean, you know, they saw the opening and they, you know, so the people that work in the pistol licensing bureau are great. The police officers, they want to help you. They want everybody, as far as all the ones that I dealt with anyway, to have their CCW, you know, so it was just backlogged because of the paperwork and stuff like that.
Okay. That's great to hear. I love
that. But as far as, you know, New York State, you know, they have came out with all kinds of, I don't even think they're laws, just basically, maybe ordinances, you know, where they have, like you said, they have, you know, sensitive areas, which is a lot of areas where you're not supposed to carry even with a CCW, which is ridiculous.
Right. I've made this comparison before. Do you remember the Chris Rock special from, I think it was in the 90s, where he talks about when he was a kid, you could go, you know, your little boy, you'd go run around the block and go play. And, you know, you would come home when the lights, you know, the street light came on. And then it mm-hmm. became, okay, well, you can only go from this block to this block. And now you can only go from this house to this house. And eventually you're just standing on one square of sidewalk directly in front of your house, spinning around in a circle. That's kind of right. The way I compare those sensitive places laws. They just, in fact, I think in New York, if I'm not mistaken, you may know about this. I don't know. They had a thing where they wanted to say, okay, so if a business wants to allow a CCW holder into their business, the business has to put up a sign saying that guns are welcome or something to that effect. Have you heard about this? They call it the vampire law.
You know, I don't want to misspeak. I know, you know, something like that. I thought it was the other way around, that they, you know, if you do see a sign that they don't allow firearms, that's up to their, you know, the business owner.
Right. That was apparently a thing that they either tried to do or did, and it got rescinded or whatever. They called the vampire law because, you know, vampires can't come into your house unless you invite them in. It was the silliest thing. So I'm glad to hear that's not a thing. That's
insane. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, listen, yeah. I don't want to just be a complainer all the time about politicians and law enforcement agencies blocking people's right. I love to hear a success story when they're all in and they want, you know, they want to enable people rather than, you know, try to keep from being able to defend themselves. So today's story involves a situation I think a lot of us have been in to varying degrees. If you live anywhere near a big city at all, you've gone to the 7-Eleven or the Circle K or the corner market, and there's been some insane angry person making a lot of noise, and you just do your best to avoid it. Today's story kind of involves something like that. In fact, the police were there when you got there, if I recall correctly from your email. So kind of walk us through, what time of day was it? What were you doing? What were you there for? What did you see when you walked up? And kind of walk us through what happened.
So it was about 5 p.m., I believe, a little bit after. Pulled up to the local convenience store, just needed to get a couple small things for dinner. Pulled up, and there was 4 or 5 police cars, a bunch of officers, and this, sprayee, as you called him, arguing with the police. You know, he had no shirt. He was actually, his face was covered in blood on both sides. You know, the cops are basically saying, you know, can we help you? Do you need a shirt? You know, what's going on?
Right.
And he just was, you know, screaming at them, mind your own effing business, go about your business. And, you know, so I started recording it, you know, not to record the police or anything like that. I'm not, you know, not like that at all. Just to send to my friends and basically, hey, look what's going on down the road.
Sure.
And you know, that after that, he just started walking away down to the other end of the strip mall that it's on. So I, you know, he was in front of the door to the convenience store at that time. So I said, all right, I'm not going to walk in and get in the middle of this right now.
Sure.
So he walked away and I turned the phone off and went inside. You want to continue on from there with everything?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I go inside, I go grab my stuff. I come around. I know the lady that's, working at, the store there for a long time. She's been working there, I think almost 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So I said, you know, what's going on out here? And, he said that, you know, he came into the store dripping blood. He actually dripped blood on the countertop. was screaming at her, called her by the wrong name. Hey, I know you, and you owe me $150 for this, whatever. And she's like, that's not my name. I don't know. And she ran away. They called the police. He ended up going out of the store, and that's when I pulled up when he was talking to the police. And I said, well, listen, what he tried to rob you. You need to go tell the police that. Do they know that? You know, because they're not trying to, you know, arrest him or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't want to get involved. My husband was just sick, blah, 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 blah. So I said, all right, you know, I understand. I'm not going to force you to go and tell them that. So at that time, I see the police officers pull away. They leave. The lady in front of me had finished checking out. I go to start checking out, and I see another employee of the store run past the front of the store, like sprinting. And I'm like, oh, you know, what's going on here? So I take a peek out, and you know, I tell the lady there, you know, your employee, okay? She just, you know, ran past the front of the store. She said, oh, what, you know, she's looking to. And we all come back inside, and that's when the video picked up where you see the sprayee come walking in behind me. I didn't realize he came from the other side. He had gone all the way around.
Okay.
He was hiding behind the dumpsters behind the store when the police left. So he pops back in the store. Another, that older lady I was talking about, she goes to the back of the store. Other girls that work there are getting in this guy's face, and he's yelling and screaming at them. I don't even know what he was saying. Like I said, covered in blood. And then I'm telling him, hey, get out of here. We, you know, stop. You know, we don't need any problems. And he just was fixated on them, wouldn't even look at me.
Let me stop right there for a second.
Yeah.
So what's the impression? Had you seen this guy before, and what is your impression of him? Does he seem just like a person with a mental condition, or does he seem like a crook, like a gangbanger or something, or kind of characterize him for the listener?
He seemed kind of local to the area, a little thuggy, but definitely not a gangbanger, I don't think, or anything like that.
Okay.
He seemed like he was probably intoxicated and maybe also, you know, having some mental issues as well, you know, common issue probably, I would say.
So he's inside now and you're telling him, hey, beat it, pal. What happens then?
So then the second or third time, he finally realizes that I'm trying to, you know, talk to him and get him out of here. And he says, oh yeah, I have something for you, and starts digging in his pockets. And that's when I was like, well, I have something also. And I pulled out the palm pepper spray, just doused him down. He just kind of covered his eyes and was in shock. And I just kept continuing to spray him, actually sprayed it in his ear too. Cause I was like, you know what? This is my opportunity to use this stuff. Let's use it.
You're like, this was like $12 worth of OC spray. Let's
right.
What are we doing here?
So then he starts screaming. All right. All right. All right. And I'm like, well, get out. And so he gets out of the store. There's actually an outside video of him. He gets out and just screams in pain. I couldn't imagine with the cuts on his face also. I mean, that stuff was strong. We all got hit with it a little bit in the store, just, you know, a little cough or whatever, not, you know, a little watery nose started running or whatever.
Yeah. When I was watching the video you sent, I kept thinking, don't walk through there yet. Give it a second. Let it settle. Cause that's the thing they don't teach you, or you don't know.
Well, I wanted to get to the door too. When I was telling the girl, just lock the door, you know, so he didn't come back in. So she locked the door. We called the police. They came back. He had ran into the woods. They ended up finding him. They said, oh, he was very easy to arrest. Thank you.
Right.
And I was, you know, they got all my information first. They said, wait here. We're going to, you know, try and find him. They ended up finding him like 10, 15 minutes. They come back and they said, oh, you know, thanks, blah, blah, blah. You know, no charges. And I started walking away, and I was just like, you know, I turned around and said, officer, he's not being charged. What do you? He said, oh, no, you're not going to be charged with anything.
Oh, good. No.
So, I was, you know, just baffled by that, you know.
That's funny. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think a lot of places, the attitude of law enforcement is different everywhere you go, right, around the country and around the world, obviously. So, right. You know, if you're in San Diego and this happens, you're probably not worried about being charged. If you go across the border to Tijuana, you might have a problem. It might be like, hey, you're not allowed to have that or whatever. Mm-hmm. So at no point prior to them saying no charges, were you concerned that you would have any sort of legal problem, right?
No, I figured I would, you know, be, you know, not a hero, but, you know, patted on the back for it, you know, not worried about being prosecuted over it. I was shocked. And he's, you know, he, you know, wasn't the police officer. He's like, oh, you know, New York State and all. And I'm just like, that's ridiculous. What a joke.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So, I love two things about this story. Well, I love a lot about this story, actually. I love that. Oh, you have something? I also have something. Let me show you what I have. Did he end up having any weapons or anything, or was he just bluffing?
I don't know. I didn't ask the police officers. I didn't see him. I didn't give him a chance to dig in his pockets too long. You know, I don't think he had a firearm or anything like that. He was just kind of digging in his front pockets, maybe a knife or something, or, you know, I don't know.
I think I'm going to entitle this episode, he was easy to arrest. Thank you. Thank you, citizen, for that. That's very, very funny. Right. This is, as a retired cop, that's extremely funny to me. Like, I know what that means. Like, you get the guy, you know, at the end of the night at the bar who's running his mouth and takes a swing at someone and gets his butt handed to him. And that guy is now very easy to arrest because he's not going anywhere because he's picking up his teeth with two broken arms.
Right. But, you just reminded me, actually. So, you know, he was bleeding prior to this incident. Sure. And then the police officers ended up telling me that he was causing problems quite a bit before that with other people in the neighborhood. And they ended up, you know, hitting him and beating him up. And that wasn't enough. He just kept, he kept having his mental break and drunken stupidness or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about that. If if God forbid you get into a confrontation out in public, let's say this guy, you know, you're out in the parking lot, there's nobody else around, there's no robbery, there's no nothing. He's just accosting you. And I'm not saying Ben in particular, but you're in this situation, dear listener. What would you rather have the police arrive to 10 minutes later? This guy holding his face with pepper spray, or him with a busted lip and a tooth missing and all sorts of damage? I mean, how are you going to feel better when the police show up about, am I going to get charged with something? I'm going to go with the pepper spray. Now, not that it's 100% effective. Nothing's 100% effective, but I'd much rather try OC spray first and let that do all the talking, and I don't have to be on camera beating the crap out of this guy and potentially facing a charge. Although in this case, they felt the need to inform you weren't being charged anyway, but whatever. Like you said, it's New York State. How effective would you say the spray was? And what I mean by that is, how quickly did you sense that it worked? How long did it take you to realize, oh, this stuff works? Like, this guy's out of the fight. And answer those first two questions. Sorry. How long until you realized, okay, this is as fast as I thought it was going to be?
Instant. I mean, as soon as it hit him in the face, he turned his head, covered his face, and I think was almost screaming at that point. You know what I mean? But you could tell he was in severe pain, couldn't see. You know what I mean? It was instant.
You have no idea how grateful I am that there's no audio on the video that you sent in, because I did not want to listen to that guy running his mouth for 10 minutes straight.
I was disappointed, though, for when he walked outside and I wanted to hear the scream from him, because actually you could see he kind of leaned down and let it. I heard him yell inside the store also.
He was unhappy. He was an unhappy person. Yeah. He had not yet begun to rethink his life choices, but that was going inevitable. That was going to happen later in the day. So they did arrest him at that point. Do you know what they charged him with? And if he stayed in jail for any length of time? No idea.
I don't have any details. No.
Okay. No. Yeah. I'd be interested to know. So let's talk about lessons really quick. This is going to be a short and sweet episode, folks. And that's just fine. I think Ben's got things to go do anyway. Talk about lessons. Obviously we say avoid, right? That's the first thing. If you can avoid a thing altogether, avoid it. But at the time you showed up, it wasn't like there was just some crazy bloody guy, you know, winding around in the parking lot. The police were there. So you felt like, okay, I'll go in and get my, you know, I'll go in and get my, whatever, my cigarettes and beer. No, I'm sure Ben does not smoke and drink. Come on.
Needed some rolls and No, definitely no smoking.
I'll go in there and get what I got to get, and I'll go. The police are here. It should be fine. That turned out to not be the case. They left him there. Now I'm not going to cast any aspersions on your local law enforcement. You speak pretty highly of them in general, both now and in the pre-interview. But I really would like to see the police find a way to remove this person from the community temporarily if they're in this state. Because they already know, not they should already know, they already know this isn't going to be the last time we hear from this guy today. Maybe they thought, oh, he got beat up, so he'll, you know, maybe he'll go away now and go lick his wounds. But I really want to see law enforcement be a little bit more proactive and say, okay, this guy is a real problem. He's going to be a problem with other people today. So instead of passing the buck, let's just find a way to get him tucked away for the night till he sobers up. I don't know if they have drunken public laws in New York, but that was kind of a cure-all for our idiots in Southern California, 647.
Well, they have to. Public intoxication, You know, I mean, they definitely should have taken him.
Just jump on the grenade for the other cops and for the cops in the neighboring jurisdictions. And we have to deal with this guy later and say, okay, well, this guy, we're done for today. We're going to put you in a comfortable little cell where you can sleep it off. And hopefully tomorrow we can give you a list of the AA meetings in town and send you on your way, rather than just let him wander around. Because they had to know this guy was going to be a problem again later. They were just hoping maybe it's close to shift change. They're trying to pawn him off on the next shift or whatever. But that's thing number one. you were aware, but there was a mediating factor. The police were there. You go in, and now through no fault of your own, they leave. This guy comes in. Now you don't have to deal with him. You could have just walked out the door. Was it a sense of there's all these smaller women here, I shouldn't just leave and let them deal with this guy? Was that where you were thinking?
Well, you know what? I couldn't have walked out the door because he was standing right in front of the door.
That's true.
So I would have had to have retreated backwards. And I'm not going to do it. Like you said, it was old women. I know the lady there that's worked there for, like I said, 20, 30 years almost, I think. She's an older lady, very small, like my wife. I mean, she's probably 5 foot tall, if not less. The other girls that were there are a little bigger and could handle themselves probably a little better. But even still, I would never, just mind my own business in a situation like that, you know.
Yeah,
something had to be done. And let me just keep going there. You mentioned something earlier, about having to go, hands on. And worried about being charged for beating the guy up or whatever. But not only that, it works so well, the OC spray, because you're preventing yourself from being injured, and not having to go hands on with breaking your hand. I've been in way too many fights in my life, unfortunately. And I'm beyond that, a lot wiser and smarter and older. Mm-hmm. And this guy's covered in blood also. Unless I absolutely had to, it was a perfect solution to not being risked with battery, breaking my hand, hurting myself, or God forbid, getting some kind of disease from this guy that's covered in blood already, So
absolutely. We call OC the long range eye poke for that reason. Cause you don't have to get terribly close. Let me ask you about the palm. Did it perform exactly like you had hoped it would? Was it hard to use? Was it hard to aim? Was it hard to hit him? Did you hit him right in the eyes or in the forehead? Do you remember?
I think it was a direct shot. Cause it was, worked perfect, flawless.
I would say you're about two, three yards apart. Is that right? Or was it closer than that? It's hard to tell.
Think I stepped in front of the women because the girl was trying to kind of keep him out of the store and towards the door. So I think I got pretty darn close to him. I'd have to look at the video again, but a few feet, probably a little too close, but I didn't want to risk spraying her, So I got right in front of his face. So
another lesson I want to touch on is the fact that you didn't continue to engage him. You didn't follow him outside. You didn't taunt him. You didn't do anything. You just said, okay, this is working. We're done here. I'll let him wander off. And as I said earlier, reconsider his life choices. However, for the people listening, if God forbid you ever have to use pepper spray in the real world, if you can avoid walking through the immediate area where the person was just sprayed, this is something they don't tell you. Cause that stuff hangs in the air for a little while. And especially inside, it can contaminate a whole area. Try to avoid walking through it. I think, as you said, they had to walk out there at that point, but avoid it. Other than that, I think you did a bang up job. I think it should be a commercial for Palm. They should have a video advertisement just of you in that store with that guy and him immediately shutting down, stopping what he's doing. It's really a dream outcome if you consider the other possibilities, the stuff you talked about, having to get in a knockdown drag out with a crazy bloody guy and getting hepatitis C or God forbid, AIDS or something else from his blood. That's a real thing that happens. Right. And avoiding all the criminal liability. And if they had arrested you for deploying pepper spray in town limits or whatever, they thought the charge might be, even a good public defender would have that taken care of in no time. I think you did the right thing, Ben. Really, really well done. Anything you wanted to talk about before we part ways? I don't want to leave anything out.
No, I don't think so. The only thing is, like you mentioned about, following after him, after the incident, I just have to credit you guys. Cause I do love your, the lessons on your YouTube channels, and I'm definitely older and a little wiser, but throughout, watching these self-protection videos, it just makes sense. Why put yourself at more risk? That's why, I had the girls lock the door, and just wait for the police to come. It's not worth it. Cause who knows what he did, could have had, and if he cleared his eyes out or just wildly started swinging a weapon, he's out, lock the door and just, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Let him wear himself out like a toddler having a temper tantrum. Let him wear themselves out.
And if Palm is interested, I'll definitely take some more pepper spray. I did buy some replacements already and bought my family some, but I could always use more.
Here, let's talk after we say goodbye to the audience. So, and again, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I say it every week. If it weren't for people like you, there wouldn't be a podcast. Thanks for watching the channel. Folks, if you're listening to this, thank you so much for listening. It's because of you that we have a show like this. It's because of you we're putting out information, and we're kind of in a lane I think that nobody else is in the podcast realm, which is just having real life defenders come on and tell their stories in their own words. So if you want to get the word out to other people, if this content is bringing you value, do me a favor and go over to whatever podcast app you're using, Spotify, Apple, whatever it is, Leave us a review and a rating, preferably 5 stars. Say something nice about me if you can. If not, say something at all, whatever. I don't care. But that helps the algorithm get this information out to other people. It helps the show to grow. So we appreciate you listening. Ben, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Anytime. Thank you.